Open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to pick up right where we left off this morning. If you missed this morning, you can find that message on our website or Facebook or YouTube channels. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to pick back up at verse 7 and see how far we can get through the rest of the chapter. We're focusing in on chapters 8 and 9. And this is kind of the middle section of the letter to the church at Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 are all about giving. And the apostle had been trying to collect a special offering from all of the churches that he had contact with and getting that together to send back to the saints at Jerusalem who were going through a really difficult time. It's my understanding a couple of earthquakes, a famine, a really difficult time for the saints there. So they're collecting this offering. And it's really cool because not only is Paul going to get the money together, he's also gathering a team of people from all these different churches to go with him to take that offering back. There's a couple of reasons for that. We'll see a little bit of that tonight. But let's pray together and then we'll read the text. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Lord, it's been a blessing to be able to worship together with the saints today. Thank you for the opportunity to get out into the community and try to take the gospel to those around us. Lord, we pray that you'll bless every gospel tract that was left, every conversation that was had. Lord, we want to see you work in bringing people to faith in Christ. We want to see you work through us in making disciples who make disciples for your glory. And we just pray that you'll do that work and use us for your glory. Please bless our time in the Word now. Help me, for I'm nothing without you. And Lord, I'm so thankful today for your grace and your mercy. And we pray you'll bless your Word now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased, and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. And we're going to stop right there. I want you to see how the Corinthians were encouraged to give. This morning we saw that giving is a grace of God. We think of grace as something that we get, but we learned from the text this morning that giving is actually a grace from God as well. God gives us opportunity and ability to give, and that in itself is a grace from God. We talked about the fact that giving grace is contagious. He said, look at what God did through the church of Macedonia. Look at how the Lord himself gave for you, and let that be an encouragement for you to give. The giving grace of the Macedonian churches, we talked about how it was spiritual. It came out of their joy in the Lord. It was liberal that they gave abundantly, even out of their deep poverty, they gave with great liberality. It was proportional. God calls us to give as he has prospered us. And if you have much, you can give much. And if you have a little, you can still give a little, but we should all give in the proportion that God has given to us. But not only that, they gave sacrificially. Our giving should be sacrificial. They were willing not only to give as was in their power, their ability, they were willing to give beyond their ability, and giving should be sacrificial. And then we saw that it's personal. They first gave themselves to the Lord. And if you give yourself to the Lord, you will have a desire in your heart to give to others. When you belong to Him, you're going to want to serve Him, and we serve Him by serving others. We give to Him by giving to others. And so then we get down to verse 7, we see how this grace, this giving grace, accompanies faith, it accompanies utterance, knowledge, diligence, and love. That those graces God had given to them, grace to give was just to be added to those other graces. Now look at verse 10 again. Giving grace begins with a readiness in the will, but it has to be followed by action. Herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. A year ago, Titus had come to them and encouraged them to give. They expressed a willingness to give. They had a readiness in their mind to give. And now Paul's just saying, listen, we've had a lot of trouble that we've been dealing with. Now that we're dealt with the trouble, now that my heart is comforted by the fact that you received that severe letter, you had repentance unto God, we've dealt with all the trouble, now you need to get to performing what you said you would do. Because we can all have a heart to give, we can all have a mind to give, but that has to be followed up with actually giving. Amen? In other words, good intentions will only get you so far. There has to be a follow-through. There has to be a performance of those things. But it starts with a readiness in the will. So what do we have to have? Well, we see you got to get to the doing of it, but you can't get to doing of it until you have a readiness in your mind. You have to make up your mind what you're going to do. You understand that everything we do, right or wrong, it begins right here, right? The warfare that we fight in the flesh to do to not do what's wrong happens in our mind. And the warfare to do what is right also starts in our mind. We have to have a readiness in our will and our mind to do what's right, and we got to follow it up with action. Verse 12, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased, and ye be burdened. So first you have this willing mind, and then he says, like we already talked about, it's accepted according to a man has and not according to what he doesn't have. So what's that telling us? It's giving. Our giving is proportional. A lot of people have this attitude, man, I really want to give, I just don't have enough to give. But I want to tell you this, I believe that God has provided abundantly to all of us, and everyone has something to give. Everyone has something to give. And I think a lot of us look back and we say, man, if I had as much money as that guy had, or if I had as much as she has, then I would give. And all the while, God's saying, listen, I've already given you. I've already given you more than you need, so you do have to give. You remember when Jesus visited the temple and all the people were giving? And you remember that the Lord noticed one woman and he said she gave more than everyone else. Did she give much? Yeah, trick question, huh? Did she give much? Well, it depends on how you're looking at it. Did she give much monetarily? No. Two mites? Financially, that's not a lot. It wasn't much at all. As a matter of fact, it's almost nothing. As a matter of fact, there were probably a lot of people there that day that would have said, you know what, you probably wasted your time to even give that. I mean, that's almost nothing. You might as well have kept it. But the Lord said she gave more than everyone else there that day because she gave of her need. She gave of her living. She gave all that she had. That woman gave sacrificially. So it's not counted to you according to what you don't have. God is looking at what you do have, and he expects us to give out of what we have been given. He expects us to give out of what he has given to us. It's just like when you were a kid. Let me ask you a question. Anybody ever, when you were younger, did your parents ever give you money so that you could buy them a gift? Anybody do that? Yeah. You realize that everything we give to God, it's just like that. It's exactly like that. You don't have anything in your life unless God first gives it to you, and he expects you to give back to him from that. It's just that simple. So giving grace isn't about what you don't have, but it is about what you do have. And God is looking at us, and he is blessing us, and he is accepting what we give back to him out of what he's given to us. There's got to be a willing mind, and then there's got to be a performance of it. I couldn't help but think about Proverbs 30 as I was studying this. Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. Proverbs 30 and verse 8 says, "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." A lot of wisdom there, isn't it? And you know, God has provided for us to give us exactly what we need. We want to have and recognize that God's given us what we need, and we need to be willing to give out of what he has provided for us. Giving grace isn't about what you don't have, but about what God has given to you. Now, I want you to see this as we come down to verse 16. Giving grace is honorable. Now, I mentioned that Paul was not only gathering an offering, but he was gathering a team. And part of the reason he was gathering this team was to have integrity in the offering. He was going to gather a large sum of money. He was gathering from all the churches of Galatia, those churches in Macedonia. He was gathering from churches in Achaia. He was gathering from the church at Corinth. There were people from all over, and some of these people had quite a bit of money, and they were giving out of God's blessing to them. So he was gathering from a lot of different churches, and this was going to be a pretty large sum of money, and he wanted to have accountability and integrity. Wouldn't you want that? I mean, when you give to a charity, don't you want to know that what you're giving to is actually going to the charity? You ever given to a charity and you thought, I don't even know if that's actually going to go to who I hope it goes to? You ever done that? I mean, you see the sad commercial on TV and you feel compelled to give, so you call the number and you give some money and you're like, I have no idea if that'll get to that kid or not. Right? You want to know that when you're giving to the work of the Lord, it's actually going to go where it's supposed to go. And so he's putting together this team. There's honor in giving God and to the work of God and to the things of God and to the people of God. It needs to be honorable. Verse 16, "But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us, this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance, which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of. They are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and our boasting on your behalf." So he's going to walk through some of these brethren and fellow laborers. First one is Titus. Titus has had interaction with the church at Corinth many times. He's carried the letter to them and news back to the Apostle Paul. They knew Titus, and he's just saying, listen, you can trust him. And at the end of this, in verse 23, he says, listen, and if anybody doesn't know Titus and wants to know about Titus, you can let them know he is my partner and my fellow helper concerning you. So Paul is vouching for Titus. And then in verse 18 and 19, he says, the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, this brother chosen of the churches to travel with us in this grace. Now, he doesn't name this brother because he doesn't feel like he has to name this brother. But he says he is going to be a part of this team that's going to take this offering. And what a testimony this brother has. Do you hear his testimony? His praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. Now, some of you might be speculating right now. I wonder who that is. And I don't know who it is. But I know this. What a testimony to say that everybody who knows this brother knows that the gospel is what he's about everywhere he goes. Isn't that a great testimony? Would to God that could be said about every one of us. Hey, you know that brother from over there at Muldrow? And he is all about the gospel. You know that sister from over there at Muldrow? She is all about the gospel. What a testimony. The praise is in the gospel in all the churches. And not only, but was chosen of the churches to travel with us this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. So not only did he have this testimony of the praise of the gospel in all the churches, but those churches all together chose this man to go as a representative of those churches to take this offering to Jerusalem. This brother had a great testimony and was trusted by multiple churches. Just the fact that that many different churches, we don't know the exact number, but more than three or more at least, these different churches all agreed on the same guy to send. Nobody's impressed by that? I mean, a lot of churches in one church can't agree on anything. You get two churches to agree on one thing, three or more churches to agree on one person. This is awesome. What a testimony. Some churches can't even agree on the color of carpet to buy. What color to paint the walls? Come on. You know I'm telling the truth right now. Churches have split over the color of the carpet. So they agreed on this guy. All of these churches selected this man. He had great integrity. He had a great testimony. And the reason he did is because everything he did was centered around the gospel of Jesus Christ. You want to have integrity? You want to be trustworthy? Then center your life around the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 20. And 21, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in the abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. What's he saying? We're having these men come with us. They were chosen by the churches for this cause. We want to avoid that anyone would blame us in the abundance which is administered by us. We want to do everything above board, have everything honest, have everything in the open. We're going to have these men to make sure everything's done with integrity because we have an abundant grace. What's he saying? We've got a big offering. We're responsible for a lot of cash, and we want to have men with integrity so that you can trust what we're doing, that what we're doing is honest in the sight of the Lord and in the sight of men. You know, our business dealings ought to be honest. Our dealings with the Lord's business ought to be honest too. Everything should be above board. And he said, there's just great practical wisdom in what they were doing. Not only getting the offering together, but putting together a team that could be trusted. Look at verse 22. And we have sent with them our brother. So this is another brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. You might remember at the end of the last chapter, he said, I was worried. I sent you that severe letter and I didn't know how you would react. I was afraid that you would not respond well. I don't repent that I sent it, but I did for a while because I was concerned. We read about how he was dying to see Titus so he could find out how they responded. And when they found out they responded with godly sorrow unto repentance, he rejoiced. And at the end of chapter 7, he says, I have great confidence in you in all things. What a change. What a change in the church at Corinth. If you paid any attention at all in reading and studying the first letter that he wrote, you would not have had a lot of confidence in that church. You would have had little confidence and little confidence in very few things. But now, because of their godly sorrow, because of their repentance, because of their change in their heart, because of their change in their attitudes and their actions, he says, I have confidence in you in all things. They have been transformed through their repentance to God. And now he says, we have great confidence in all things. And this brother, the other brother I'm going to send, you know him. He's been proved diligent in many things and much more diligent because of the confidence that we have in you. I know that I can have confidence that you'll accept him. Remember, he's having to defend himself. And now he's regained their trust and their confidence. They've repented of following these false teachers. They've repented of turning away from the Apostle Paul. And now they have this great confidence in each other. You know what that is? We keep using the word confidence. That's trust. Sometimes it's really hard to regain trust if someone has betrayed your trust. But it's possible through godly sorrow and repentance. Just think about it in your relationships. Have you ever had a friend who betrayed your trust? It takes a lot for them to regain that trust. Have you ever had somebody in your family that betrayed your trust? It takes a lot for them to regain that trust. Have you ever seen spouses, husband or wife, betray the trust in their relationship? It's really difficult for them to regain that trust. In the church, these people had turned away from the Apostle Paul. They had believed lies about him, that he wasn't even an apostle at all. They had believed lies of these false teachers about all kinds of things, turned away from Paul. Paul had set the record straight, and they had repented through godly sorrow, and they had regained his trust. That's big. And that's something we should all seek. Hey, leave it to the world to not regain somebody's trust. Leave it to the world to burn bridges. Leave it to the world to sever relationships forever. That's not for the Christian to do. Our heart should always be for reconciliation. Our heart should always be to regain trust. Our heart should always be to restore relationships because God has restored a relationship with us. We ought to have that desire for others. You say, well, Brother Isaac, you don't know what they said. You don't know what they did. I don't have to know. I know how much God's forgiven me, and I ought to have that heart to forgive others. God's forgiven you. You have a heart to forgive others. These people had betrayed the apostle. They had run him through the mud, and he was willing to forgive them, and they had restored trust with him. So he had this great confidence. Verse 23 and 24, one more time. If anybody asks about Titus, he's my partner and fellow helper concerning you. If anybody asks about these other brothers I've told you about, you just need to know this. They are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. You want to know about these other brothers I'm sending? Here's what you need to know. They have been sent by the churches of God, one, and two, these brothers are the glory of Christ. What a testimony. How could that be said of anybody that person, that brother, that sister is the glory of Christ? What does that even mean? It means these are people who have given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. It means their lives have been transformed by the glory of God and for the glory of God. It means that they're living their lives for the gospel and for the kingdom's sake. It means that their lives are a testimony that shine the glory on Jesus. They are the glory of Christ because they're giving their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're the glory of Christ because any praise or attention that goes to them, they redirect it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody with me? They have given their lives to the gospel, and they're giving all the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, show them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. So what's that mean? It means Paul says, listen, the team's coming, and I need you to get this offering together. A year ago, you said you would do it. Now you need to follow through with what you said you would do. You had a readiness of mind, now do it. You had a readiness in your will, now do it, because the team's coming, and when they show up, You need to prove your love for Christ and others, and you need to prove our boasting on your behalf. What's that mean? Paul's been telling all the other churches about how the church at Corinth, the saints at Corinth, were ready to give so much to help the saints at Jerusalem. What did he do here? Well, he told the church at Corinth about the saints in Macedonia and said, listen, they gave out of their deep poverty, they gave liberally. You guys with me right now? So he tells the people at Corinth about how generous the people in Macedonia were, and he had told the people in Macedonia how the people at Corinth were so willing to be generous. And essentially, here's what Paul's saying. Don't make a liar out of me. I've told them, I've boasted to them of how generous you were willing to be, how you had this willingness and this readiness in your mind. Now, follow through. I said this morning, put your money where your mouth is. I don't mean put money in your mouth. I mean, if you say you're willing to give, then give. Real faith always works. Real faith always works. And love is not a feeling, it's an action. It's a grace to give. And God help us to see opportunities to give and be willing to not just have a feeling to give, not just have a thought to give, but to actually give of our time, our talents, and our treasures to others for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. As our musicians come, will you please pray with me tonight? Our Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace, Lord, I'm so thankful for the testimony of the saints who have come before us. There's so many deep riches in the text that